Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
But first, before I read the scripture, Amos chapter 6, Brother Copeland, I was flying home from a meeting, and I had come out of a glorious meeting. I had just finished, me and Creflo Dollar were preaching, had a glorious meeting. So I was, for lack of a better way to say it, I was spiritually high. I said, people were saved, touched, and blessed. Got in the plane that God so graciously gave us, and we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement. I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. Then he said this, so that's it? I didn't know how to handle it. For a man went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilots looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying. I said, Lord, I don't think I was letting my faith stagnate. He said, so this is all I could ever do. I said, you're trying to tell me something. He said, go to the book of Amos. So if you're at the book of Amos, I want to read the scripture.
May I interrupt you there for a second?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing? You can't do
you
that.
You can't do that.
No. This is so important. And those of you that are just now coming into these things, in the first place, Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have the mess that the airlines are in today, I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
So and this was such a good illustration. I just, the Lord impressed me. That's why we're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Oh, glory to God. It's true.
When I was flying for Oral Roberts, Brother DeWeese, my boss on the airplane, he said, now, Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing on Brother Roberts. And he said, you keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to him unless he talks. Because when he's on a meeting, he doesn't talk to anybody but God. Now, Oral used to fly airlines.
Right.
But it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit.
Sure.
People coming up to him. He had become famous, and they wanting him to pray for him and all that. You can't manage that today.
Right.
This dope-filled world.
Right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly the
point. And it's deadly.
And it works on your heart. It really does.
So I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, see there, them preachers spending all that money, just fat cats riding around. No, we're not. We're in business. Listen, I could scratch my flying itch with my little single-engine, open-cockpit airplane.
Right.
I just come home, fly around in that, and scratch my flying itch. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. But we're in soul business here.
Right.
We got a dying world around us, Jesse. We got a dying nation around us.
That's right.
And we can't even get there on the airline.
You can't. Let me give you an example before I read the scripture. Some people say, why do you need an airplane?
You got three words.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
That was two televangelists, Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland, talking about why they need a private $20 million airplane. Because
I agree, because they're crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because regular airplanes are, quote, a tube full of demons that lands in this dope-filled world. And there's just so much to talk about.
The plane is a sanctuary.
It is a sanctuary. The plane is a sanctuary.
They can talk to God.
Because if you're famous and you're a preacher and someone asks you to pray for him,
they're a demon.
Your spirit gets agitated.
Yeah. Very as agitated, he said. Apparently.
So agitated,
you have to buy a $20 million airplane.
Yes. And as Jesse Duplantis said at the beginning, when he's in the airplane and God is literally talking to him,
yeah,
and he's talking back, that's hard to do if you're flying coach.
Yeah. Can't do it coach.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And after seeing what happened in United, people getting drugged off the plane.
That's true.
Like, you might be talking to God and they drag your ass off the plane.
I think that's
that would really agitate your spirit.
Oh, maybe they were dragging a demon out.
Maybe.
Tube full of demons.
Yeah, Asians.
I ate too much El Yucateco hot sauce and had to drag a demon out this morning, actually. So, not to be forgotten, is El Yucateco hot sauce, our primary sponsor. We'd like to thank them.
I think I like to imagine my baby Jesus in an El Yucateco airliner.
Yeah.
Mm. And it says El Yucateco real big on the side. And it's white and glorious in the sunlight. And we leave. Our plane leaves no chemtrails. It's just a clean flight. And it lands back in this dope-filled world, though.
So I have a question, Brad. If you had a time machine,
mm-hmm.
and you can go back in time, you can go forward in time, you can do the whole deal,
mm-hmm.
how many time-traveling trips would it take before you went back and punched the baby Jesus?
That's the first one.
I wonder, would that be the first one?
That's my dream. That's my dream. Everybody has like a dream vacation, right? You go on a cruise, go to the Caribbean. You want to go to France. You want to see the Eiffel Tower.
Right.
My dream vacation is to travel back in time and punch baby Jesus.
Speaking of Caribbean, if you haven't tried it, El Yucateco actually has a hot sauce flavor called Caribbean. It's great. It pairs well with vanilla ice cream, I heard. Someone just posted that. I think... Yeah. Who is that? I don't know. Jeff, whatever Jeff's last name is. He's a good friend of mine. Can't think of his fucking last name right now.
Naked Jeff.
Crazy Jeff, Biker Jeff, Kilt Jeff, Scottish Jeff, Country Music Singing Viking Guitar Jeff. Picking Jeff. Jeffrey Stevens?
That's it, Jeffrey.
Because I didn't say Jeffrey is why.
It's Jeffrey. If you're Hispanic, it's Jeffrey.
So obviously our topic today is televangelists, and we're going to say a lot about it, but we wanted to open with that clip because it's so fucking ridiculous. But we still want to thank El Yucateco, and we have some whiskey to try.
Yeah, speaking of Jeff's, Captain Jeffrey Lindley sent us some whiskey. And I say captain because he addressed himself on the invoice that way.
Is it Jeff's or Jev's? You always get mad at me about it. So is multiple Jeff's or Jev's?
There's no V's in Jeff. Mm-mm. Maybe that's where your confusion starts.
Well, there's no V's in wolf either.
What about elves?
Mm. See?
I'm staying out of your guys' stuff today. Oh, you know what got skipped over is that you have no power over me, Brad. In the beginning, you dinged the bell like 27 times. And hey, I clinked my glass to a ruckus and drank from the bottle.
So I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because you have no power over me. But Jeff gave us something that Dave's going to enunciate for us.
Something's wrong with you today. I think he's tripping out because it's Friday. It's not Sunday.
He gave us Yamazakura whiskey.
Nice.
Which is a blended Japanese whiskey.
Oh, I don't have it. I got to drink this. Hold on.
I got to drink this too.
Okay.
You got to get some ice tea between
hang off. I'm letting you guys do it.
What'd you drink?
Useless.
You are challenged at bottle opening.
I am.
Dave's really eloquently spoken, intelligent, novelist, published author. Head of the English department, I needed some help taping boxes.
I'm just
whether
trying
it was
spill.
An act or not, couldn't tape a box, though.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just trying not to spill.
You know, build a box, even, couldn't was, tape a box.
I built the boxes.
You build a box?
I folded the boxes.
You meant
for
to build
you,
a box
but
in
I,
the mall?
I literally picked up the tape gun, and the instant my hand touched it, the tape went and like stuck on itself the moment I touched it. And I was like, nope, not happening. Oh, no.
I think that you could have taped boxes and you were trying to get out of taping boxes. Brad's face, like the smell. Brad's face at the smell of this is a little scary. Dave says it's fine. Dave's being honest. Need to like.
Oh yeah, this is
extra. It's clean, I think.
This smells like dirty whiskey or dirty tequila. Whiskey. Dirty tequila.
Nah.
Yeah.
What is the deal with it?
Smells kind of floral.
Blended whiskey.
Well, it has flowers on it. It has cherry blossom. Yeah, well, yeah, it's Japanese. All right.
Yeah. Yamakazura. Everything's in Japanese. I can't read it.
All right. Let's do this. Who sent this? Captain Jeffrey Lindbergh. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's really good, man.
It's good.
I dislike.
You really? Dislike?
Yeah.
It's like a cask.
It's very smoky.
Yeah, it's smoky. It's not bad. Like, again, like I'm saying, I dislike. It's not my flavor hit. Like, that's not it.
What I do need to point out, though, is I don't know if you bought this on the black market or something weird, because there was a black sticker. Did you peel it off?
I peeled the sticker off.
We pulled out of a box, and it was from the Whiskey Exchange. Like, he bought it from someplace that delivered it here or something.
It's from the UK.
But yeah, there was a black sticker. When we peeled off the black sticker, it was hiding the UK. It was like in the TV like shows where they put a pear over the apple,
right?
You know, so that it's not really that.
Because the sticker says it's only sellable in the UK or something.
And then there's a sticker over that. Rather than peel that sticker off.
Well, they probably put it on so that when they send it to the United States, if they opened it in customs, it doesn't say only sellable in the UK.
Right. That makes sense.
So they try to dupe the customs.
Well, I'm starting to
It is smoky, but it's not as smoky as the cask Islay.
And I'm starting to notice that the Japanese whiskeys that we've had are very kind of dry.
They're ginny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very ginny.
No, it is smoky.
Genay.
I like
the very genay.
It tastes more like a scotch than anything else.
What?
Nothing. I was talking about
Janine's over there. You're hearing bells in the beginning of the episode.
Did you have a stroke?
You okay?
I had a couple different ones. My knee. I like almost went down over there.
Yeah.
Like
I was
mom.
Waiting to laugh.
Almost went down like your mom.
Waiting to laugh.
Yeah.
Well, my mom has AIDS.
What?
Too soon.
Oh, that was my secret.
Well, I wish you had told me like last weekend, because we got problems. Yeah, we need to talk.
You better go to the doctor.
Yeah,
buddy.
We got to plan some shit out for the show.
You better go to the doctor.
So, and as normal, at the end of the episode, we will go to our special place and we will tell secrets to our patrons. So after we're done with our sponsors, keep listening. If you're a patron, you'll want to keep listening. If we mention your name, everybody else, it's off limits. It's a secret. You're not allowed to listen.
Yeah.
So
that's correct.
So our topic today is televangelists.
Is it televangelists or televangelists?
I always just hear it as televangelists.
It's just televangelists. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there's three big networks in the U.S., TBN, Daystar, and Inspiration Ministries. And I don't know, as I was reading and looking into it, it seems like a very uniquely American phenomenon. From what I was reading, there isn't a lot of televangelism in other countries.
That's a good observation. Actually, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I saw that it was primarily America and, oddly enough, Nigeria. If you look at the top 10 best paid televangelists,
which I'd like to point out is the scam capital of,
exactly.
of the universe.
Yeah, three of the 10 Nigeria's are from Nigeria. Yeah.
Nice. But,
so I don't know. Like, that was from what I read. People kept saying that. So you might be in Canada or Australia or someplace else, and you might have a ton of it. But I mean, like, if you're in the States and you have no cable and you get like an over the air antenna, you've got the big three networks and Fox, you've got like three home shopping networks, and then three fucking Christian networks that are just beaming 24 hours a day to your house, like that, and a couple of Spanish channels. Like, but it's a pretty big part of. And then it kind of, if you do have cable, you get that kind of ghetto of televangelist stations that you avoid. It's like, oh, you know, 113 to 125, we just skip those channels because it's a bunch of bad hair.
I haven't
and horse
had cable
shit.
In so long. Why is their hair always fucking
oh
weird,
my
though?
God. I was looking at pictures that
they look
I,
like the Chupacabra lady.
You know, they do. Like, I was looking at pictures and I was like, I was having to double check, like, is this someone fucking with how a televangelist looks, or is this an actual televangelist? And like, no, they were all like real people, like they're
Benny
real
Hill.
Hair.
Yeah, Benny
like,
Hill with his fucking comb over.
Man,
yeah.
They are really something.
Benny Hinn.
Yeah. Benny Hill, who difference? I don't know.
I'd rather take spiritual advice from Benny Hill than Benny
Probably.
Hinn.
Well, who's Benny Hill? What's he?
He's the British comedian.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yep. So, and I remember like back in the 90s, like to me, that was like the heyday because it was so bad that I could actually watch it.
That crazy makeup lady, the one that has like the purple hair with the crazy fucking
with her husband that looks dead.
She's the one that owned, that helped start TBN.
Yeah. Yeah. Her and her husband.
Janice Crouch.
But how do those people look upon the stage and see like clown makeup, dude?
Oh my
like,
God.
Fucking crazy
and
character.
Pink, purple, fucking cotton candy hair.
Like you couldn't have, if it was your first night out, you couldn't walk out looking like that lady. You had to build a fucking crowd first, right? There's no way that first night at church, like, hey, we've started a new church. You open, that lady walks out, Muppets. Fucking might as well have Muppets.
She looks like a fucking raccoon with a wig on.
Fraggles could come out on stage and ask you for dollars, and you'd be more likely to give Fraggles money because there was some childhood nostalgia.
Definitely
give that
Fraggles
fucking
money.
Blue eye shadow fucking mess of a fucking Medusa.
That chick almost got a spit take out of me.
Holy
on that
fuck.
Premise.
Did you see that one?
Yes, that's exactly the one I'm talking about.
I know. But her hair is even worse there.
That might be Photoshop.
No,
that is not Photoshop.
That is not legit. Photoshop.
So I come from a very religious, my grandmother, you know, forced church upon me.
That worked out.
Amazingly.
What do you claim your upside down cross tattoos stand for? Something else?
I don't claim. They're,
why not? What does it stand for? Something
it means
else?
To be humble.
Yeah.
That's what it means, actually. But there is no, like, Satanism adopted that. Just, it's stupid.
It's like the swastika.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like the upside down cross actually comes from, it's the cross of St. Peter, who supposedly, they don't even know if it's real or not, but supposedly didn't want to be crucified like Jesus because he was being humble. He wasn't as good as Jesus.
That shit was so yesterday.
Yeah. He's like, oh, upright. No, you got to turn me upside down.
That shit was so year zero.
Yeah, so that's the cross of St. Peter. It means to be humble is what it means, but I got beat up in Walmart by a Mexican lady who literally was putting her hands on me, fucking pissed, beating me up while I'm trying to check. I'm like putting my card in the card reader and she's fucking hitting me with her purse, like cursing at me in Mexico.
Did you do a handstand just to try to satisfy her?
I didn't know what to do. I was like, I was being assaulted by this fucking old, like Hispanic lady with a purse. Like, and I was just like, my card's going, I pull it out and I'm like, oh, like what? And she's like pointing at me and fucking cursing me. And
so, that was because the chip reader. That's another topic.
Maybe. Yeah.
How come the chip reader makes a scary noise? It should be a harp. Jason's, it should be an angelic, like green light should come out of it. Like everything's okay. Yeah. Everyone in line.
It's like your card was declined.
No, that's the noise. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to look at everyone guiltily in line. You're like, no, they gave me a receipt. I'm leaving with this stuff. It's okay. Everything's cool. I had money.
No, I went to one place and it was like a pharmacy and the noise was just very, it was just like a bing.
Oh,
you can take the card out. I was like, oh, that was very refreshing.
It's like they actually mess up and give you the 99 cent store. Uh-oh. You know, like when you check it out.
I was going to bring that up. 99 cent store has like video game noises. As the fucking items go across. Sorry. Hiccup.
It's always, uh-oh, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, was there a mistake as it's going across? Like, and they're just going.
That's pretty.
I would do Mario coins. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a Mario's Market. This is gonna be great.
Nice.
What?
I only sell mushrooms.
Mario's Market.
Mushrooms and pipes. Yeah. Plumbing supplies and mushrooms.
There you go. No, it's a head shop.
You get
mushrooms and pipes.
Yeah. And you get into the back room and it's all playing the dark, like the dark dungeon Mario music. Yeah.
Apparently, the store has to be in Amsterdam because.
So the big names in televangelism,
Joel Osteen,
that guy's voice, he's just so nice and pleasant. He talks like this, like, man.
Yeah.
Billy Jesus. Graham, Oral Roberts, Jimmy Swaggart, Jim and Timmy, Tammy Faye
Jimmy
Baker.
Swaggart's old school. That's my grandpa's favorite.
Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, this cat named Creflo Dollar.
Benny Hinn.
Great fucking. Dollar. That's like a straight up rapper name.
That's a black dude, right?
What about Cash Luna?
That's a black dude, though.
What about Cash Luna from Guatemala? Is he on the list? Cash Luna. That's a dope ass name.
Robert Tilton, who's maybe my all time favorite. Like, have you guys seen Robert Tilton? He speaks in tongues. Like, the whole, used to have a sweet mullet and speak in tongues in the 90s. And then Benny Hinn, who would
actually, that's the guy that was on the show that we talked about
last week tonight.
God, that was a good 20 minutes. That's 20 minutes of greatness.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, there's a 20 minute segment on televangelism and how churches get away with what they do on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. You can easily find it on YouTube, legally even, but I highly recommend watching it. It's fucking
hysterical. I watched that last night. I made it through that and I just kind of watched whatever followed. And then like I fell asleep for about 45 minutes and I woke up and sat up and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get a drink of water. And I'm sitting there looking at him. And the next thing I know, John Oliver, I don't know what the episode was about. He was holding a 4-foot wooden penis.
That was the same. No, there were three, because he, in the thing, he talks about how what it takes to get tax exempt status from the IRS.
They made a church.
And they make a church on the show. But then there were There were two or three follow up videos over the next several weeks of his show. And on one of them, and they asked for donations. They said, send us money. We are a church. And it's tax exempt. And they got they never disclosed the exact amount, but all that he said was it was tens of thousands of dollars that people sent in the course of 2 weeks. And then they had to stop it because they were talking about seed money, which we'll talk about later. They kept calling it seed money, send us seed money. And they kept saying, do not send us seeds, just send us seed money. And of course, they kept getting bags of seeds sent to them.
Right.
One of them, somebody sent them a 4-foot tall wooden cock that said, stroke this to get your seed. And then they stopped on air and told everyone, quit sending us anything. We're not opening anything else.
Right.
When in 1 week, they got four baggies and vials of semen. Because people were sending them.
I mean, technically, they asked for it.
Yes, they did.
Somebody was putting the lotion on their skin, and they sent that.
Then it was legit. They gave all the money to Doctors Without Borders. It was a totally legit thing, but a very funny episode. Highly, highly recommend watching it. But so televangelists, I was kind of curious where it all started, and I know there was evangelism. There was, and again, if you're not from the U.S., you might not necessarily know this, but in the U.S., when you think about the South and you think about Southern preachers, the fire and brimstone, drum up fear, they're evangelists. So the televangelists they do the same kind of tactics on air, but they've always been there. They've been on the radio, they've been on TV, et cetera. But up until the late 1970s, when the FCC still gave a shit, churches always had free airtime on the networks to broadcast religious shows, as long as they were Christian.
So they're tax exempt and they get free airtime, which is worth millions of dollars.
Well, but at the time, though, they got airtime, but they couldn't ever ask for donations or profit or sell advertising.
Is that where seed came from?
In the late 70s and early 80s, the FCC changed the rules, said you no longer get guaranteed free airtime. But you can now start asking for money. And that was when televangelism blew up because now we could do a show and we could say, give us money, give us money, give us money. Yeah. And you can reach millions of people.
Well, that made more sense.
Please dial the number below, people.
Right. They were free airtime, but you can't get any money. They're like, or we could charge them and let them get all this money to pay us.
Right.
So yeah.
So it was
the evil pass through.
It was a win-win on everybody except poor Christians. Right. So everybody, the FCC.
Or just ignorant Christians. It was just, people with no money, people on welfare, they want $1,000 was their base. Right. They weren't even asking for $100.
Right.
They were talking about people on welfare can afford $1,000. It's going to come back in tenfold.
And there's even clips, you'll see a preacher who's I'm asking for $1,000. And I know you're thinking right now, you got $1,000 set aside and you want to buy a house. $1,000 isn't buying you a house.
Yeah.
You should give it to me and then give it to the Lord. And then he'll multiply it and you'll get your house.
There's people going, don't touch that money. That's the Lord's money. Yeah. It's people have been stricken down during the offering for touching the money. If they're not giving the money, he's like, that's the Lord's money. It's not even your money. I couldn't believe that shit.
Yeah. No, it's pretty, fucking crazy.
And then they're not even humble. That thing when he was just talking about, he was bragging about his plane.
Yeah.
Saying he bought a fucking Cessna. He's like, and this week I bought one worth three times that.
Yeah.
And then people clapped.
Yeah. Mike Murdoch. He's talking about the fact that he bought a jet. And then he's like, you need to act happy over my blessings.
I went to school with a guy named Mike Murdoch.
I can feel jealousy in this room right now and all this shit. And it's like, but so they end up changing the rules. The FCC does. And then right away, Oral Roberts pounces on it. Great name, by the way.
Oral, he probably sexually assaulted Roberts. Someone. Because yeah. in my research, I was hoping it was just going to be a bunch of exposed people for fake healings and mm-hmm. all the tax evasion or money or misspendings. But God, sex. I mean, we talk about the Catholic Church. Fuck. The Christians have their own fucking bones in the closet.
Oh, yeah. They get arrested yeah. for all sorts of molestations and
gay sex. Everything. Tons of yeah. that. What is with the oppression of like sexuality? And that's, or
it's like
religion?
So many of them are like anti-gay. Like that is their whole platform. And then all of a sudden,
they always come out that they suck three dicks. Like, yeah, it happened like last week. I sucked three dicks and I sinned, and they're bawling and tears and red-faced. And then like 3 months later, they just start a new church. They just have to get out of there. What'd you do? You broke your mic, man?
My fucking stand is falling.
Broke it.
I'm looking at pictures online.
I saw that.
I don't even know.
Just like the books you read, man.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do.
I could fix that if you What's wrong with you? You try to talk.
What's wrong? Why are you trying to cut it?
Because this fucking mic stand is falling apart.
No, that looks good. It's fine. The Lord, you know what happened? The Lord just struck your mic stand.
Fuck, he did. No, the devil struck my mic
very
stand.
True. True. The white devil. He's touching it right now. You okay over there? We're having technical difficulties on the Sofa King podcast. We'll be right back. Oh, now you really broke it. You fucked up. Why are you touching his mic stand like that for? Get it out of your mouth. There you go. You got it. I knew we could fix this while I chattered. Did you guys see the picture of Jan Crouch with her like fucking boobs and nipples showing like fucking?
No. Thank you, sir, for fixing it's, my.
Yeah, I'm just mesmerized by the. There's pictures of her with straight hair, too. Like, it's pretty insane.
Let's see it.
Hold on. Oh, damn it. I just lost it.
That's what he said. It was embarrassing.
There's one right there. Yeah. There's her with straight hair. She actually looks like a normal.
She looks like a human being.
That's the chick normal. With the crazy hair.
Yeah, it's chick with the crazy hair.
She looks young, too.
Yeah. Well, she's had so much plastic surgery, dude. There's like.
This is an after or before?
After, because her husband died at 79.
Let me see it one more time. How old is she right there?
I don't know. Her husband was 79. Looks good. So.
She looks really good.
She's had plastic surgery, though.
Yeah, like, fucking, she has.
Jesus Christ.
Does she have a labia reduction, man? Everything's all tied together.
Let me show you that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, let me show you.
She looks good. I'll give her some money. I'll give her $1,000.
Yeah, you're gonna feel like there's oatmeal in front of you right now. Hold on a second.
If you tear the cardboard package to get into the oatmeal,
oh yeah, that's
it's over.
Game on. Amen.
Yeah.
So while you're looking that up, so Oral Roberts really kind of started the game, and then
Why?
I don't know. A guy named Robert Schuller really followed it up with a thing called the Hour of Power, and I vaguely remember that. I don't remember him, but I remember that thing. And then Pat Robertson really changed things because he made it more of a talk show format. And he started the CBN, which was the Christian Broadcast Network. Oh, my God.
She looks old again, but this is some
fucking... He's showing us a picture.
Yeah.
She got some speed bag titties with fucking with the nipples hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
If I was the right age.
Man, and these are the TBN people, man. This is like... Yeah.
So then TBN gets founded, and TBN is one of the largest, quote-unquote, nonprofit organizations in the United States. A group called Charity Navigator that looks at what charities do gives it 2 stars and says that look at that hair.
I can't stop.
She could have been on 90210 in the first picture you showed me. Man. Like I was kind of down.
I just picture people putting Trump's face on that. Like, that is the best ever.
Yeah, she looks like a Star Wars character.
Jesus Christ. Looks like a fucking that's the lobster. Yeah. That's the lobster hairdo.
So then with TBN, there's a group called Ministry Watch. That since 2000, they give a letter grade to every ministry and what they like, how much money they make and what they do for the community. And it's consistently gotten an F every year since Ministry Watch has looked at them, because TBN doesn't do shit except fucking make money and scam people. Right.
Pretty much.
And then there's another guy. There's a big guy named Creflo Dollar with the rapper name. And he's a guy who went on. That's his name, Creflo Dollar.
I doubt that's his given name.
No, I think it says that his name is Creflo Augustus Dollar.
Dollar is some fucking black rapper. Yeah, you made that shit up.
But he went on his show and said that he needed $65 million because God told him he needed to buy a luxury jet.
I just found Paul Crouch's granddaughter. She's a stripper. That's legit. There's a whole post on it. Wow, this is insane.
Yeah. So the whole thing that they base themselves on is something called the prosperity gospel. And the
that's where they earn money.
This is where they earn their money. Preach, so, yeah. So the prosperity gospel, the idea here, and this is what they sell in their shows.
Creflo Dollar has a net worth of $27 million.
Yeah. At least. That's not bad. They don't even know. They don't even know. But the prosperity gospel is that if you give money to these preachers, you will end up getting rewarded, but with whatever you're praying for. If you're looking for your cancer to get cured, if you're looking to get into a house, if you need a better job, if you just need more money, give us money.
Yeah.
And then you get money back. Yeah. And this is the main concept. And when I was looking into it, I read a Pew report that said, in all fairness, I mean, we're talking shit about televangelists and in all fairness, only 7% of evangelical Christians in the United States actually believe in the prosperity gospel, which makes it even more alarming.
This is the problem because Joel Osteen has a $40 million mansion.
Right.
Like,
so 7%. So only
7% of that shit is buying that?
Yes. Yes. That's what
you got to think 7% of Christians, how many Christians are there in the world?
Just evangelical Christians. Yeah, just that branch of like that.
Yeah.
That's not even counting Catholics or all these other Christian groups. That's just this type.
They got the money. They got the money.
They got money coming in for fucking shit.
You know, I'm not even mad at these televangelists. Like, how can you be mad at them? Like, I would do it.
They're playing the game.
Yeah.
They're playing the game. So the idea is that you give a seed donation, right?
That's the seed.
And what their hope is, like if you send them something, if you send them $10, they're going to start sending you letters asking for more money.
Like the police.
But they get so weird on that.
But they send you like anointing oil so that you can anoint yourself and then send more money.
Send $37 back.
Yeah. And they'll send you a dollar back and tell you to put it in your Bible overnight and send it with another $50 back tomorrow morning.
John Oliver did, and he spent $319. Yeah. He had a stack of fucking envelopes. Yeah,
they sent him a letter a week doing all kinds of crazy shit, trying to get him to keep sending more money.
A room full of fucking crazy envelope stuff and like marketing madness.
Oh, yeah.
That's all marketing. Yeah. That's insane.
Yep. Because if you're already gullible enough to send them $20,
if you got the seed, that's the seed.
Exactly.
You got the seed.
Exactly.
You got the seed in, and they already know that now they've got you. You're hooked in. It's over.
Right. And they get people to the point. I mean, people will forego medical treatment in order to spend their life savings to give seed money because they think the Lord is going to save them from their cancer. Or
interview
from fucking
with a daughter and her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was rough.
Yeah.
Man. She read her mom's journal and she was like seed money to some church instead of going through. And they literally had that one lady was on stage saying, you have two choices. Like you can ask God and plant a seed for hope if you have cancer, or you can take the doctor's poison radiation.
Right.
They were literally telling people that the radiation should don't even try to let the doctor,
But she's laughing about it.
Isn't it illegal to not give your kid medical care
for religion?
It doesn't matter though. Yeah. Like that's fucking somebody telling you, hey, you should kill yourself instead of taking, things that are proven
to
work.
That lady is Kenneth Copeland's wife.
Yeah.
And like the way she sells it is she's like, you know, would you rather, go to the doctor for your cancer and get a poison that's worse than your actual disease? Or would you rather just give me money?
Yeah.
Like mocking you for wanting to get chemotherapy and stay alive because you sending this bitch money is better for your long-term health than
I bet they're like, there is no heaven or hell. Fuck these guys. I'm having a plane while I'm here.
And is this the same thing where, they start out with good means and then as the money comes in?
I don't think these people ever had fucking
It's just good a racket. Means.
I think it's just a fucking racket. I can't imagine someone getting out there and doing that. Because there's tons of churches and church organizations that are like fully against televangelists and are like, these people are fucked up and this is
us money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's the same thing. Like, it's calling fucking the kettle black. You know what I mean? Like, hey, these people are bullshit. Don't give them money. put your money in our plate.
And I mean, but I mean, I've been to churches, and I'm not Christian, et cetera, but I've been to churches where they don't even say anything about money. They pass the basket around, and if you put money in the basket, that's fucking great, but yeah. They never even mention it. You're just here to worship and do your thing. I can fucking respect that. I'm cool with that. You pass the basket around if someone wants to drop it.
That's usually the church you don't want to use restroom, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
but I mean, to be like soliciting sick, dying poor people on fucking cable,
that's another level.
And that's just another fucking
that's
level.
Another level.
Another fucking
but that's the difference between the pastor driving around the Mercedes and the motherfucker with the airplane.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
that's right.
You got to drive to that other church. Right. Well, we flew.
Right. And I mean, even to a certain bit, I mean, even though it goes from what I know of like Christian doctrines, it goes completely against it because you shouldn't be worshiping money or caring about money or putting all this faith in physical possessions and all this shit. But I mean, a lot of people that are in a church, it's like, well, I need to dress nice and I need to have a nice car because I need to, like, the parishioners need to know that they're part of a successful church so they don't go to another parishioner.
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand that. I mean,
when you have a church, it's a sales, you're in a sales position.
Right.
You have to sell your church.
Right.
You know, it's just like a salesman. If I come up to you and I'm driving a fucking beat up 1987 Toyota Corolla and I have a fucking untailored suit on that I bought at Sears for fucking $100, are you going to listen to me about money and what I'm telling you? No.
Right.
You know, God should bless the person that is teaching.
Or even if it's not that, it's just, even if it's not like you're going to act like God gave me this money, the fact is, you want to be successful
because God is blessing you.
Right.
You're on the right path.
And even if God isn't blessing you, it's like, I have enough members in my congregation. My church has a very prominent community. You should join our community. Mm-hmm. And that shows that I can I guess I can get behind that, even though it goes against the notion of like coveting worldly possessions and all that shit, which supposedly are against the entire.
No, tenet. There's a bunch of videos that are like quote for quote. They're like, the Bible says this. This guy says the next clip is him like doing everything that thing says. Like, like if there was a devil, that guy's the fucking devil.
And the other problem is, too, it's taken out of context. They take, let's flip to this book and here we'll read here. And then you flip over to this book and it says this and you put
those
together. They kept
referring to it as pantheism.
That's not how it works.
Something called pantheism. I guess that's what a television evangelist is. It's like they're following something called pantheism. I can't remember what the thing was. But like that would be their true religion if it was something.
I think their religion is a fucking almighty
money.
Dollar.
Yeah.
Their religion is a 501c3 status that makes them fucking tax exempt. And even little things like the Copeland's big targets, because they're some of the biggest ones out there, they have a $6.3 million home, which they never have to pay property tax on, which is fucked up. Like, I understand, okay, your church doesn't have to pay fucking taxes because it's a tax-exempt status, but since you're a pastor, you don't even have to pay fucking property taxes on a $6 million fucking mansion.
Because they own it.
Because it's a parsonage, and it's part of the church. And it's like, what a bunch of fucking horse shit.
So to go along with that, Paul Crouch and Jan Crouch, which he's dead now,
right.
But they have private jets, 13 mansions, and a $100,000 mobile home for their dogs.
What? Jesus Christ. But they helped co-found TBS. Like they're the
TBN.
Ted Turner did TBS. But and then looking at it, so John Oliver said that one church was audited by the IRS in 2014. One. There's 350,000 churches in the United States. One got audited in 2014. Two got audited in 2013.
Bullshit.
Guess how many got audited between 2009 and 2013?
Zero.
They should just
audited the Church of Brad.
I think a nonprofit, that should just be on the books. So if you're going to be nonprofit, you're definitely suspect.
Yeah.
You should probably just get audited.
Yes.
That should almost
like,
be
well, just IRS to keep, should
just
be looking
to keep everything square.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. They're probably like thinking like the IRS is like, I'm not going to spend money auditing your fucking crazy shit because it'd be hours and craziness when I'm not getting money from you in the first place. They probably don't want to allocate any money if there's not a hope of return on
money. If they've granted them 501c3 status.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But if they fuck up, they might have a potential to get money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you could lose your status and owe.
Yeah.
But that's never going to fucking happen because the rules are so vague about what makes you a church that anybody can fucking get away with it. I mean, we need to make this a church.
This needs to happen ASAP.
So looking at some of the top ones. So one of the wealthiest, obviously, is Janice Crouch, the Muppet with cotton candy hair who helped found TBN. She's the president of the Holy Land Experience theme park in Florida.
There is a Holy Land Experience theme park.
Yes.
I'm going to look while you're talking. I'm going to find out what their scariest ride is. Like
Jesus Park.
Yeah.
They crucify the children at the end.
What was it called again?
The Holy Land Experience. Holy Land Experience in Florida. Pat Robertson.
It would be in Florida.
Yeah. Who started the 700 Club. They estimate, and no one can really get a net worth because no one knows how much money these people have because they're never audited. They never turn their fucking records over. So these are just shots in the dark. But they think that Pat Robertson is probably the wealthiest in America, and they think he has somewhere between $200 million and $1 billion from the 700 Club and all of his fucking televangelist shit. He helped start ABC Family Channel. He founded a university called Regent University, just super fucking rich as hell. Pat Robertson.
It's no rides. It's 43 exhibits and restaurants and shops.
That shit's boring.
But there was some drama with their tax status. They had a four-year fight or something. Yeah,
I'm sure they did. So some of the other big ones, I was looking at the history of it, and one of the earliest...
I wanted there to be a holy coaster. That would have been...
the holy coaster.
It's
the holy roller.
Yeah.
Did you guys read about this woman, Amy McPherson?
No.
I feel like I know someone named Amy
McPherson. She was one of the earliest... She was a radio televangelist at the turn of the century. And she actually was making money because it was before the FCC started to regulate things. So she was making a ton of money on the radio. In the 1920s, there was a huge scandal where she was accused of having an extramarital affair. And in order to cover herself and keep herself from having to give money back to her congregation, she faked her own death.
Oh, shit. Nice.
And tried to leave the country. And then when they busted her and said, "You're fucking still alive," she said, no. They made me say that while I was being kidnapped. Which was also a fucking lie. Right. So she went from faking her own death to faking her own kidnapping. And then she ended up going before a grand jury and she did some jail time. And then eventually she died of barbiturate overdose in 1944. So that's kind of the...
It was
way back. But we end up getting this. So, I mean, even just like looking at a history of fraud, there was a guy named Henry Lyons. He was president of the National Baptist Convention in the mid-90s, but he ended up being busted for fraud, extortion, money laundering, conspiracy, and tax evasion.
His name's Lyon. Someone's name's Cash. Someone's name's Dollar.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a name for none of us can do it.
It's just like you just change your name.
I think they did. I looked up that Dollar guy. It looked like that was his name.
Because he's black, Brent. Yeah. Stop being racist.
That's right.
He had a daughter named Destiny.
It's just give me money.
Though? Creflo Dollar can't be his real name because he's black. And if that was his real name, it would be Creflo Dollar.
Dollar.
Yeah. That's true.
But since it's Creflo Dollar, he made it up.
Well, yeah, you gotta appeal to white people.
Yeah. So you have a dollar.
Yeah. A dollar. Yeah.
Creflo Dollar.
A dollar. Yeah. It's almost like cash flow dollar. Like it's like too close to money flow.
Creflo Dollar. Yeah. It's a fucking straight up rapper name. And he's the guy with the $65 million plane.
Yeah. Credit Flow Dollar. Like that's his name.
Yeah, and the other guy's name was Cash Luna, that Guatemala guy that Brad said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, Creflo. Yeah.
Money Moon.
Creflo Dollar has been hounded by IRS investigations because he won't give over the full disclosure of his assets. And in 2012, he was arrested for physically assaulting his 15-year-old daughter.
So. Oh, that is the guy I watched the interview with, actually. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. He fails miserably. There's a 20-minute fail video of his interrogation or questioning about his assets. And he finally just starts throwing this fucking girl like Jennifer under the bus. He's like, "Yeah, you're going to talk to Jennifer. I don't know. Well, do you guys have a committee that meets?" "Yeah." "How many people are in it?" "I don't know. You're going to have to ask Jennifer." He finally resolves like, "I'm just going to tell him to ask this chick every day. I don't know." And then he has an attorney that's like, "Yeah, he said he didn't know. I'm going to have to go ahead and object. He doesn't have to answer that question." Like, Yeah, he fails. He has a fucking jet. He has this giant mansion that's worth all this fucking money. He says he doesn't own it.
They all
He's
do.
Leasing to own or some shit.
Right,
He justifies cutting a Mercedes, spending like $50,000 cutting a Mercedes and turning it into a limo. And he's like, well, it's worth 150 grand now. So the bank thought it was a good deal. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. He's like, when we entertain certain high-class celebrities at the church, like, we have to pick them up in that. He's like, you have to pick them up in that? He spent $6,000 at Louis Vuitton, and they were like, did you have to get Louis Vuitton? He's like, I sweat a lot. When I'm on the road, I sweat a lot. I sweat through my clothes. I got to change. Like, did you need Louis Vuitton to put back on? He's like, they sell the kind of suits I wear. And he's just like,
they sell the kind of suits I wear.
Good answer. Yeah.
That's, I mean,
you fucking cunt.
You can't really argue with it. Yeah. I mean, they sell they the do. Kind of suits he wears.
Right.
And then literally they're like, in 2000, whatever, you spent this much. He's like, yeah, man, that makes sense. We're on the road. I sweat a lot. We're on the road a lot that year. Yeah. And I'll be sweating through them suits. And you're like, what the fuck?
I'm just going to use that as an excuse for everything.
Yeah. I sweat.
For
I sweat
everything. A lot.
Yeah. Why are you going through too much toothpaste? I sweat a lot.
Mr. Moten, do you realize how fast you are going? I sweat a lot, officer.
Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I hope you understand.
There was one guy, I hadn't heard of this guy, but I saw these clips. I'll post this video on the show note description. There was a guy, a televangelist named Peter Popoff. Like the vodka. Mm. And he was a faith healer from the 1980s, late 1980s, early 1990s. And his whole shtick was he would get the congregation full of people and he would come around and he would kind of pull like a, I'm a shitty psychic thing. Right. And he would be like, there's like a James or a Jameson or something. And then there was, and there'd be a Jameson in the crowd. And then he would be like, and there's, I'm feeling something in my joints. The Lord is telling me about joints and there's an aching, like arthritis. And then someone would finally stand up in the crowd freaking out like, that's me, my name's Jameson and I have arthritis.
Right.
And then he would like start giving him like, and the God's telling me something about Bruce, and they're like, my son's name is Bruce and he takes me to the doctor and all this stuff. And there's a guy named the Amazing Randy, who's a magician who tries to debunk fake psychics and all right. this kind of shit. And
is that the guy that used to like answer, he had the crazy long like blonde mullet? Is that guy? That's the Amazing Jonathan.
That's the Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah.
But this guy, James Randi, he went to one of his things with basically a fucking radio scanner and sat there and was listening on a radio. And all of a sudden, this guy's wife, Popov's wife, would like, you can hear it in the video. She's like, check, check. Can you hear me, John? I hope you can. If not, the show's not going to go very well tonight. Okay. So, there's a woman named Johnson who has arthritis. Yeah,
well, what would happen is when they're coming in the door, the greeters would get information
exactly.
about the people.
Yeah. They would get all this information as they were coming.
There's a movie about televangelists who run this racket.
Really?
Yeah, and it's an older movie from the 90s, but it's just like this. Right. It's pretty much this right. guy's shtick.
That guy's story. Yeah. But he ends up getting busted by the Amazing Randy, and he ends up going fucking bankrupt shortly thereafter because he's fucking just exposed as a fraud. Because
I think
of
in
his
our
faith
ghost
healing.
Episode or something, we talked about psychics or something. There was a show that I ended up watching trying to do research, and they had a guy become a fake televangelist and to see like what kind of following he could do, and they just hired some regular guy, trained the fuck out of him and put him out in front of people and people.
Yeah. If you have a little bit of charisma,
start tagging you can, along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy.
I think I could do it.
It's crazy when you start a podcast and then all of a sudden, like
next people, thing,
people are eating hot sauce.
Eating it up.
And
yeah.
Hating 4 foot tall black guys.
So there's another guy. A guy named Ted Haggard was a very prominent televangelist.
Like a country singer, man.
He does.
Ted Haggard.
He was the founder and pastor of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs. And he was the guy I referenced earlier, but he was like super famous for like giving these like fire and brimstone speeches against anything homosexual.
Right.
Like he was just anti-gay, anti-same-sex marriage, anti-everything. And then lo and behold, in November of 2006,
his boyfriend comes
he gets busted by a male prostitute and masseur named Mike Jones, who said that he's been having sex with him for money for 3 years.
Mike Jones.
He sold him crystal meth.
Oh, nice.
And Haggard denied all the allegations and then later ended up resigning from his position and admitted to multiple homosexual relationships. And it's like,
yeah. I watched an interview with him and his wife. They were interviewing like 3 years after the fact.
Oh, is that Haggard?
Like, yeah. They're like, so do you consider yourself homosexual? He said, my therapist said that I'm heterosexual, but it's complicated. He's like, and his wife stayed with him through the whole fucking thing. And yeah, he finally admits he did all of it. And he just has urges, but he's not gay. It's like, there's something too.
Well, it's called religion. Bisexual. It's called being bisexual.
Sexual repression or something.
Right.
No, he said he's not bisexual.
Well, I mean, that's what you are. Yeah. When you have sex with men and women, you're kind of bisexual.
I would say so too. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying like his therapist apparently classified it different because but I don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, if he was just gay.
You can see the dick in his eye, though. Yeah. You see it, man. He's got dick eyes, right?
If Ted Haggard was just gay, who gives a shit? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But when you're like influencing hundreds of thousands of people and helping to like alter agenda,
that's like the Westboro Baptist Church. Right. Like they find out that everything that they're against, they're doing.
Right. It's like, Jesus. It's like, fuck off.
Look at the side by sides. Brad's going to love it. Why does he have side by sides with fucking Gary Busey? What the fuck?
Gary Busey.
Or Nick Nolte.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Gary Busey or Nick Nolte?
Gary Busey.
That's Gary Busey. There's a bunch of side by sides. I don't know why.
That's Gary Busey. I have no idea. Jimmy Swaggart, which was one of the biggest ones. Great, again, great name. Jimmy
Haggard Swaggart.
Jimmy Swaggart was huge in the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries in the 70s and 80s.
He was one of
the
first ones. That's when my grandparents listened to Jimmy Swaggart all the time.
And he got involved in a bunch of sex scandals in the 80s and 90s, admitted to extramarital affair and sex with prostitutes. And he gave this like big speech where he was hoping that God would cleanse his stain.
I watched confession speech of his fake crying. He looked like Brother Love from the fucking WWF. I swear to God, you have to watch.
Oh, I've seen
his forgiveness speech.
It's fucking Bubba the Love Sponge.
You know what? The other thing is too, though, like, I don't know why it's such a big deal. They're humans. They sin just like anybody else.
Because they preach not to.
Yeah, but
if they were normal guys,
it doesn't matter though. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Because it's,
you know,
hard.
What I mean?
Like, it's hard to tell people to do. It's like the fat football coach like telling you to run faster, and you're like, "Hey, you fat fuck, you can't do this." You know what I mean? Like, if you go to hire a personal trainer, you show up to the gym the first day, and it's all fucking Bobby Hill from fucking King of the Hill, and it's trying to tell you what to do. You're gonna
that's
who the fuck's this guy?
That's exactly the difference. If I found out that the fucking guy that orders produce at Albertsons was sleeping with hookers and having an affair, I really don't fucking give a shit.
Yeah, but check it out though. Like,
he's,
if you're just
not
like
spending every Sunday telling me not to do those.
But
things,
if you're like, you know, the Lord says, you know, we can't have sex, but you know, I just can't resist the urge for the hookers, you know, and that is one of my, you know, my deepest,
you
darkest,
open the door to, you know, them all thinking it's okay too.
No, it's not. Yeah. Like, if they preached, if they practiced what they preached and tried to, but were real about it, you know, like, nobody would think any different, you know?
Maybe. Well, let's do that. Let's start with that platform, Brad.
Let's start with the hooker church.
Yeah, let's start with the platform and be like, "Hey, we're not perfect. We know you're not perfect. Give us
$1,000. Sometimes a hooker falls on your penis.
Yeah.
They trip from the heels.
Sometimes I suck a little dick. Sometimes I suck a lot of dick.
Sometimes I don't.
A big dick.
Sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Right.
$1,000.
Sometimes I feel like a nut.
You should too. $1,000.
Sometimes I don't. Yeah.
Like, that's the key. Like,
there we go.
We're all human.
The church of sin.
We're just human. Like, the church of human sin.
So the other big one is
the Church of Human Centipede.
Oh, no. I was down until
you really
that
don't
part.
Like this. I like it.
Are you drunk yet?
No,
you've been drinking so much whiskey tonight.
Maybe I fucking
Dave. What's different about this night than any other night?
I mean, you're on point. It's not a comment. I'm just thinking. I have a strong suspicion that when we're done recording and you stand up, you're gonna be like, "Fuck,
I'm solid, man.
I need to go to
sleep." We have like 600 bottles of whiskey that are all almost gone. Like, how the fuck is that possible?
I just set my flask. Why is your flask here, Brent? Oh, no reason, man.
So I think the biggest scandal was probably Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. And because again, you get to see those classic.
That's Tammy Faye Baker.
She's Jim crazy. Baker. She's not as crazy looking as Crouch is, but she's fucking crazy. She's
they were popular though. Yeah. They were very big.
And they were huge in the 70s and 80s. They helped make the 700 Club a huge thing, which is like a massive television show in the States. It runs hours long. And then it turns out
Spaceball's hair, like,
that's tame. Yeah. That's so tame.
Really?
Oh, fuck yeah, it is. That is not
their head, their head's way too small.
I apologize
for their
that
hair,
we show
dude.
Pictures during the show. You should be looking these up when we're like,
yeah, you should watch the video.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Yeah, if you guys haven't, check it out.
But
it's on backslash.com.
Jimmy Jesus. Baker paid for that's enough. Again,
is that
that's
Mimi
tame.
From fucking Drew
I'm
Carey
still
show?
Telling yeah. you that's tame. Jimmy Baker had paid a former secretary named Jessica Hahn to keep quiet about a sexual affair that they had. Mm-hmm. And then once this came out, people started looking into it. And it turns out that he had embezzled $158 million from his church.
Damn.
Well, there's a fine line between
but
like,
the
what's
fact
their
that
money?
You're able to embezzle $158 million.
Because on a lot of these,
church.
Like I was watching a whole thing on Elevation Church. It's a young guy. He was like fucking rock star status. There is no board necessarily in the structure.
No.
It, like I said, it's very loose. Like there might be like Connie, the secretary or something. He's like,
you're taking in cash money from people.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have no taxes to pay.
It's a blurred line as to what your salary is. Who decides that?
It's why when you look at like the top 10 richest televangelists, no one can tell you what anyone's making.
And just how much their houses are.
Way. Exactly.
When you have a guy with $10.5 million house with 13 rooms and shit, and they have a plane and fucking 18 cars, you can kind of get an idea of that they have
a lot of fucking money.
Millions of fucking dollars.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much insane. But
this lady looks like something from the movie The Abyss, like that would be coming through the water towards you. That which one is this? This is not
that's Crouch.
No, that's Crouch. That's that's cotton candy hair.
I should just post that in the Facebook group with. Like early right now, and just don't say anything.
Yeah, you really should.
I'm going to leave this here.
Just leave it.
You'll understand later.
Yeah, yeah. But I promise you, you'll find a more ridiculous picture than that of Crouch.
No, there's the one I showed you. The fucking Trump, the fucking lobster
tail. Her makeup's not on point in that picture.
No. How much bigger could her hair get?
You're getting there.
Bigger.
You're getting there.
It goes bigger.
Yeah. It's like
so. If you, I know you might be tired of us talking about pictures you can't see.
We can't help it.
Please do a Google image of some of these fucking people, and you are going to be astounded.
What's the Narnia line? Lion's name, like it's almost lion status. Asgard or something, or what's his name?
As
something.
You just fucked me up.
I gave you the Thor universe. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so there are groups. Again, I mentioned earlier there are groups out there that counter it. There's a guy named Ollie Anthony who runs a group called the Trinity Foundation, and they try to initiate government probes into people who are stealing from their flocks and robbing from the church and all this stuff. And this guy is a religious figure, but he drives a fucking, you know, beat up Celica and has no money and doesn't ask for money, but he's out there trying to.
Well, this guy's different. And that guy's just mad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that is. Like that guy's just mad.
He's like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just upset. Like, why don't I have a $10.5 million mansion?
And there is some gray area. Like the Elevation guy, like, okay, he has an expensive house and whatnot, but they do spend like tens of millions of dollars feeding and clothing the homeless and all kinds of volunteer work.
Yeah.
And so at what
point? No, they do. I mean, even talking shit about TBN, they do have charitable foundations.
Yeah,
and they
so at what stuff. Point are you like, think about if you were actually a successful entrepreneur that had a product, that had a following, that bought that product, and then you had a house that was $2.6 million and you drove a Mercedes. But and then you donated $10 million.
You're just a byproduct to the money you
made. It's because we have a judgment of the product that they're selling, and we feel guilty
because
about the people
they're not selling a product.
But the people that are getting it feel like they are. Maybe you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's true. Because
what if it was a stupid fucking product? You know what I mean? Like that you don't agree with.
Yeah, like the so like,
it's
like
fucking Snuggies. The Snuggie King.
Yeah,
is
and
like,
you know they made millions off that.
Yeah,
shit.
Fucking
and
down with a Snuggie.
I knew you were gonna be down with a Snuggie.
You would. No, but yeah, the thing is though, if who's at fault here? The people offering. I mean, they're basically there saying, "Hey, give us money," and then you have everybody going.
It's like suing McDonald's for being fucking fat. It's literally that. It's your fucking fault too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it is their fault too, but I mean Jesus.
That people are dumb. They're
well, that's what
idiots.
I said. I can't be mad at Joel Osteen or Paul Crouch or Jan Crouch or
I guess,
fucking,
okay, here's
you
here's,
can't be mad at them. They're literally just they made a business out of nothing. Like
but
they're
here,
fucking,
here's
they're
why
serving
I'm mad
people
at
shit on a platter
here's
and
why
they're buying it.
Here's why I'm mad at him. Because at the core of
their white,
quote unquote product is
a
philosophy that the product is the exact fucking opposite.
Yeah, but there's also companies that claim to be vegan that probably aren't. You know what I mean? And they're making money. So that's still shitty.
I don't know if that's a valid argument. I think
I'm just saying they're still shitty though.
I would be
like, you're upset about it.
There's people that believe in like the secret, you know what I mean? Like that they think and project positiveness and it will surround them. Who knows? Maybe the person's, donation somehow gives them such a positive outlook that they project that they actually get motivated, that they make a change in their life. Who knows? Maybe some of those people are having a positive outcome, not mom dying
of
cancer.
It's the same thing as I get you on that. It's the same thing as you pull up to Starbucks and you order your coffee and you pull up the window. Oh, the person in front of you paid for it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get you to pay for the person next to me or behind me. And I'm like, fucking thank you. And I drive off. I don't give a fuck. Like, I ain't paying for somebody else's drink. You paid for mine. Thank you.
I thought it was going to inspire Brad to do good. No. And there was going to be the pay it for it and that pay it forward analogy.
I'm saying to the person in front of me, they felt like I'm doing something good. It made them happy.
Isn't that a funny thing though? That's a good example. Like when, if that happened in a cascade of 100 purchases, everybody in line feels like they got something for free and they did something good. But everyone in line really, if they all were spending $5, just got what they paid for. But exactly. Because the guy in front of them, like a domino effect of good deeds, paid it forward. Yeah. Then you paid it forward and then they paid it forward. 100 people had a better fucking day and they all still spent $5. So
Except that doesn't work like that. I'm like, so how much is the person behind me? They're like $37.23. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
All right.
Fucking drive off. Fuck off.
Yeah, like, you could pay exactly
that shit makes
pay.
Me mad.
You could take 10 off.
No, that shit just makes me, it just upsets me.
I think that's a neat concept though. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm getting at is maybe these people all feel better about what they did. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's that concept on a larger scale.
Oh, I'm sure most of the people that are getting fleeced are glad that they got fucking
There's a documentary called Fleecing the Flock.
It's the same thing. Like you go to church, you give the 10% of your earnings, which is the normal scale, tithe, so if you made $1,000, you're going to give $100 an offering.
That's taxed, by the way, in the beginning. They're not taxed getting it, but you were taxed making it.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you're going to give that money and you feel my grandma, like I said, dude, my grandma was, church to the bone until the end. Like then she kind of went crazy, but, she would, literally, we were poor. Like my grandpa didn't work. He was on disability that they weren't giving him disability for, he should have. He had Agent Orange and shit and he was all fucked up and they were giving him like 20% disability. Like they've lost his business, all kinds of shit. And she worked, but made enough to survive.
Right.
And she would give her 10% every fucking Sunday, like was told. And she honestly believed that everything would be all right.
Maybe through the sense of community and maybe someone talked to her from the church and gave her support at some point in time that helped in life that she wouldn't have had otherwise. Like maybe her involvement in the church ultimately kept some level of moral and made decisions and her life was ultimately better that if she had that money otherwise and wasn't involved in the church, it got spent on drugs or some shit. She took a different path. Who knows? You know what I mean? There could be some very indirect results or consequences.
I'm not saying that it's good or bad. I'm just saying like that's kind of what it is. Like she had that view that if I give this money, everything will work out.
Right.
And that's what that has nothing to do with the person accepting the money. You know, it's like I said, it's the person that like, oh, if I give this bum money, that doesn't really help the bum out necessarily. That just makes me feel good. That's the only reason I'm fucking giving this guy
the
money.
The bum's just going to go buy another bottle of
or whatever. Maybe he does buy a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like what the fuck ever. But at that point you're giving somebody money. You don't give a fuck what they do with it.
And a beer might make him 10 times happier than that fucking sandwich.
Yeah. But you're giving them money only because you feel good about it. You feel like you're helping somebody. And so,
good con works.
Yeah.
That's how a grift works.
Yeah.
You give up your money and you're fucking excited that you got a chance to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like the people who are getting fleeced, I'm sure there's a significant portion of them who honestly feel better.
Yeah.
And giving away that money does make some sort of a psychic improvement on their being. But that does not change the fact that the person who took their money is a fucking snake oil salesman and a fucking scumbag and a con artist
who's
like completely cashing in on a philosophy that is the exact opposite of what he's preaching.
I agree. And I just want to take this moment to say, if you want to feel good about yourself, you can go to www.com/SofaKingPodcast and donate any funds that you'd like to donate to us to help us fund this podcast. Well, because here's
the $40 thing. Isn't going to pay your rent. That's the truth.
Exactly. Here's the thing. So you going to our Patreon and giving money is
I didn't say Patreon, Dave.
Oh, I did. Because if you go to Patreon and give us money, say a $20
patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast.
That's exactly right. Okay. If you give us $20 a month, it's a happiness podcast seed.
Right.
You're paying it
and
forward.
We're giving back to you.
We're giving
you
back.
Shirts, so you get they're getting nice gifts.
But it'll pay itself back tenfold if you give us a seed. And
there's a possibility it could pay itself back tenfold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Definitely. Or more.
I mean, it will pay like spiritually in an enriching way, not financially, but in an enriching way.
Cumulative.
Yes. You're going to get far more than $20 a month.
Just the gratification of giving.
So what you're saying,
you're going to get $40 a month in dick jokes alone.
Yes. So what you're saying is if they go to our Patreon at patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and give back, that they will receive tenfold in happiness.
Yes.
I mean, how can you pass that up?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
Exactly.
How can you sit here and listen to this people and not
you're gonna get
jump
40,
upon this
You're going to get $40 worth of dick jokes. You're going to get $10 worth of bad Southern accents.
I agree.
You're going to get at least $27.50 worth of like racist humor.
God just told me real quick, I hear a J. I'm hearing like Jarrell. I think it's Jarrell Jones. Jarrell Jones, if you're out there, I know you want to help. I know you're listening. I know you appreciate what you're getting. You could give back. You could give a little more.
I think so.
Yeah. $10 is not going to pay the rent. You got Top Ramen in your cabinet.
That's right.
I don't have Top Ramen in my cabinet.
You don't need Taco Bell French fries.
No. Yeah. I can't pay the bills with whiskey, Jarrell. I'm rich in whiskey and poor in my
spirit.
Pockets.
Yeah. So, but one last thing about televangelists is there was a guy, Senator Chuck Grassley from the Senate Finance Committee. He spent 3 years investigating televangelist excess, and he was trying to get to a point where he might be able to change some laws and change the tax exempt status and all this stuff. And when I read about what he was doing, like in his final report, he cited a bunch of people who were like prominent religious figures in America who weren't televangelists, and they all said what televangelists do is horrible and they should be stopped, et cetera. But none of them agreed to testify or go on the record as saying it because they were afraid it was going to end their tax exempt status. So even
because they're doing the same shit.
Right. Because they're doing the same, except they're not on TV.
Just not as big. But,
so they targeted the sixth biggest televangelist, Benny Hinn. I'm trying to think who else. Benny Hinn, the a couple of people I hadn't actually heard of before that were huge, but one of the people that they targeted was Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Mm-hmm. And when the Senate came to him to get their financial records, Kenneth Copeland said in a written reply to the senator, quote, "You can go get a subpoena and I won't give it to you," talking about his financial records.
Yeah.
Wow.
"It's not yours, it's God's, and you're not going to get it. And that's something I'll go to prison over. So just get over it."
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
From the guy who has a $20 million jet and a $6.3 million house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got my probably, financial records are God's.
And probably yours. Access to legal representation that's going to fucking make it through anything.
Just be a slam dunk. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't understand. When I was in college, it was like, I used to watch it because I just couldn't fucking believe it. I mean, myself and my friends can't take your eyes off of. We would get together and we would play magic while Robert Tilton or Benny Hinn were on in the background because they were so fucking funny.
You know what might be kind of cool? I'm just going to put this in the universe. If Anonymous or 4chan twisted their sights towards like a televangelist and see what would come of that. Yeah. Like
nothing good.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Could they just take them down like in 24 hours? I bet.
I'm positive.
Yeah, there would just be fucking dick pics and 14-year-old altar boys and shit, just like with a quickness.
Gnarly.
Yeah, tax returns and all kinds of shit would happen.
So yeah, my televangelist advice is do some Google image searches on some of the names we've mentioned, because you are not going to be fucking disappointed. You're not going to believe it. If you haven't seen
dollar,
these people,
the
you're
dollar
not
interview
believe
is
it.
Good because he just fucking fails, cuts limos in half, buys Louis Vuitton suits,
right.
Says it might have been a belt or some shoes for $6,000, and she's like, for $6,000, it was more than one pair of shoes. It was a couple belts.
I think it's just bullshit that they, like the clip at the beginning where they're talking about, well, you know, you look at me because I bought a jet. You know, well, I need that jet. I think it's even ridiculous to mention it.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't even mention that shit.
Right.
Because then they just make themselves look like
fucking. It's because it's been brought up.
Who gives a fuck?
You don't justify it.
Perpetuating it, or, you know, just making the situation worse. And I mean, that's like something like if somebody's like accusing you of rape and then you're like, you just keep bringing it up. Like right. You're just hurting yourself.
And a little bit later in that clip, the first guy, not Copeland, but Jesse Duplantis is talking, and he's the one who starts the conversation. And at the end, he starts talking and he like gives this shopping list of cities. And he was like last week on Monday, I was in New Orleans giving a sermon. And on Tuesday, I was in Boston. And on Wednesday, I was somewhere else and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, and there was just no way I could do that schedule if I didn't own a jet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my fucking ass, there isn't.
There's
like,
bands that tour in a
exactly.
bus.
Exactly. There's like, I mean, when Rob was like super like touring on WWE, that was his daily fucking life. Yeah. Every day he was on a plane flying to a new city to fucking wrestle. Yeah. Like if he could fly to a new city and get a fucking chair bent over his head, this cocksucker can fly coach and go fleece people for money. It's like, don't fucking act like there's no way to do that without a jet.
Yeah. Or how about plan your fucking route better?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't plan it
closer to cities. Yeah. Like this one's only an hour flight.
Right.
You know,
I'll
like,
do that. Yeah. Can you be in New Orleans on Wednesday? No, I'm going to be in Boston on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Yeah.
I can be there Thursday or Sunday, though.
But an airplane is a tube full of demons. So
don't want to get on that.
You do need to avoid
that. That's true. Yeah.
Which is a weird statement for a preacher. So then he's like saying that the average person is a demon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably are.
Okay.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
I'll get behind that.
Yeah. That's the only statement that made sense to me, honestly. I mean, I got a tube full of demons right now.
In this drug filled world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it need to be exercised? Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
Oh, we're done?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm done.
Jesus.
Yeah. On the tube full of
Hallelujah.
Demons. Bottle full of demons. Yeah. Uh-huh. Speaking of that, El Yucateco Hot Sauce, we need to thank them. They are available at Walmart, Target, your Mexican grocer, your regular grocer. They're all over the place. They're on the internets. They're on Amazon.com. They're on eBay if you want to get real fucking weird. It's ultimately all goes back to the same place. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. Any printed goods you need can be had at printdirtcheap.com. Inky, I like it. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money when you buy that. Thank you to De Leon Graphics with an X. You can find him on Facebook. You can send him dick pics.
100% cotton made in Pakistan.
That is correct. 100% cotton made in Pakistan. Your geese, your shirts, your koozies, that's where they really come from. Small hands make them and manufacture them with skill in an assembly line fashion like we learned last week on Tuesday. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs. Thank you
Cereal
to
Killer Pillow.
Dan Camarillo,
Ceramic.
Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com and you can get his instructional DVDs as well as his apparel.
Portrait hard-ons.
What was it?
Board short hard-ons.
If you're wearing board shorts and you're wondering if you can sword fight Dan Camarillo, you can. He's pretty skilled. I have bested him in the sword fighting in board shorts, but that's genetics. It's not his fault. He does beat me in a grappling match with ease, but hands behind the back, sword fight, traditional rules, no Viagra or Cialis or anything. Pure thought, pure imagination.
Just oatmeal and cardboard.
Oatmeal and cardboard. I get him every time. Don't even try to deny it, Dan.
It's like the Karate Kid with the little like the spinny like drum things, but it's just like Brent passes out cardboard and oatmeal.
Since his oatmeal match. Thing, I'm gonna it's really gonna creep me out now because at the beginning of most shows he's sitting over there eating an oatmeal cookie like staring at both.
Cranberry
of us.
Oatmeal walnut to he's be fucking, specific.
Oh, that's why if I get one, he just like fucking gets like he fucking irate mad about like, it. Yeah.
Like diamonds. That's all I gotta say. Yeah. Diamonds. Yep. So that's all I got on that one. It is tree trust nest time.
Yeah, so the show's over, blah blah blah.
All right, don't be retarded. Okay, fuck off,
blah blah blah.
So who's staying?
So I've got one and the name is a strange one. The one and only Ms. JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
So the one and only Ms. JoJo, stick around. We're gonna tell secrets.
Kat Bentley Sheik. I guess that's how you say that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have Eric Austin.
So everybody else. Bye.
Do you have an extra one or are they going next week?
No, I did the two, remember?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So I'll start mine because I was people wanted to know this last week. This is for the one and only Ms. JoJo. Everybody else, I know you've turned it off. So the one and only Ms. JoJo, it's fitting that that's the only name you gave us because we don't know a full name. Because on the last episode, they asked me if I had a nickname that people didn't know about, and I actually do. And I will tell you the story behind two things. One is embarrassing. Goody. One is embarrassing and the other one is what ended up happening. I, as a high schooler, I think I was probably 15. For some reason, I thought it would be cool to have the nickname Big Gulp.
That sounds cool.
No, it doesn't.
It's like Kool-Aid Man, Big Gulp.
But luckily it didn't stick. Like it just
did. You
like
can't give.
Did you always have a big gulp in your hand?
No.
It's because you can't give yourself.
No, you
a nickname,
can't give yourself a nickname. So it didn't stick. It was fuck. It was a bad idea in the first place. But shortly after that, when I had a void of nicknames and I wanted a nickname, I was
of nicknames.
Yeah, I was at a park with a bunch of my friends, and they were all skateboarding, and I was not because I've never been good at it. And they were all skateboarding. I'm hanging out, and there were like part of the park was a bunch of wood chips, like under the swing set and
how
so
old
forth.
Are you? I need a real good picture.
I'm probably either 15 or 16.
Probably 6'5 at this point.
Yeah, I'm the same exact height I am right
orange
now.
Orange fro.
No, at that
black
point
blackish yellow
a
man.
Orange mohawk.
Oh, damn, really?
This is the 80s.
Fucking Zangief and shit?
Orange mohawk.
It's like a Street Fighter character.
Orange mohawk. And we were sitting there, and there were these two black kids who were playing on the swings. One was on the swings. This girl and her boy, the boy who I'm assuming was her brother, kept picking up wood chips and throwing them at her head.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we were watching it forever. We were like entranced by this person and how good his aim was. He just kept beaming her in the head with wood chips. And she finally got pissed off, flung off of the swing and tried to like kick him with both feet and just mm-hmm. failed and landed in the wood chips, mm-hmm. getting even angrier.
Right. And he raped
her.
And
she jumped up and punched her either in the stomach or the balls.
But she punched him.
She punched him.
Okay.
And he doubled over in pain and she screamed, "Quit throwing wood chucks at my nugget."
Okay.
And we fucking lost it.
Oh, I remember that. I know what's going because I do know your nickname.
And my nickname from that point on, because I couldn't stop saying it because I was fascinated by it. And my nickname became Nugget.
Yeah.
Oh, Kid Nugget.
Yes. Kid Nugget, yeah.
And that is my... And very few people call me...
How do we forget that?
And they would call me Nug, like people from Michigan. Like, very few people, if I get a phone call or a text message that addresses me as Nug, it's a handful of people who know me from Battle Creek because that was what my nickname became.
Yeah. Where does Kid Nugget come from? It's just like Kid and Play, Kid Nugget?
Kid Nugget...
Where do I know that
Because the email was taken and so he had to get Kid
Nugget. Well, no, how do I know Kid Nugget, though? How do
because
I know
that's
that?
My fun game
name.
Because Nugget was my nickname in gaming forever. And then someone heard that I liked electronic music like Nine Inch Nails and like Massive Attack and the London Underground and that whole scene. And they were like, you have to try listening to this guy named Kid 606. So I downloaded a bunch of it and I had it on. And I got in the shower. When I got out of the shower, I thought my computer broke. Like I thought there was something wrong with my sound card because of the squelch coming out of it. And that's just his music. Yeah. And it's the worst music I've ever heard. And so for some reason I adopted Kid Nugget 606 because his name was so awful.
And that had to do with this patron right here.
Yes. And that was for the one and only Ms. JoJo.
That was a long story for Ms. JoJo.
Yep.
All right. Well, I have Eric Austin. And I have a story about three midgets in the Guinness Book of World Records for Eric Austin. So it's an old story. I was involved. I lived in a community where there were some midgets, and they lived next door to me, these particular three. And we were all hanging out one day, and they were talking. He was like, "Damn, fool, you got small hands." He was like, "Yeah, man, I got small feet." And they were just kind of throwing back and forth. And the one dude was like, "Fuck, man. I mean, we're midgets, dude." He's like, "I might have the fucking smallest hands in the world." And he's like, "That might be fucking true, actually." And he's like, "You know what, dude?" He's like, "Isn't Guinness like six blocks away? It's like down the street." He's like, "It is." He's like, "Fuck, I might have the world's smallest hands, dude. We should cruise down there and see. It'd be cool just to get in the books." And the other guy's like, "I might have the smallest fucking feet, dude. Look at my feet. My feet are smaller than yours, and you're a fucking midget." And the last guy, he was like, "Dude, I hate to say it. It's embarrassing, but I might have the smallest dick. You know what I mean?" He's like, "I'm a fucking midget. I know my dick's small and I'm a midget. So there's a chance like one of us is getting on the books if we go down to Guinness."
Right.
So they fucking cruise down to Guinness. It's six blocks away. They go down there. The first dude with the small hands runs up the fucking stairs. He's in there like 20 minutes. He comes running back out, this piece of paper. He's got a certificate. He's all excited. He's like, "Dude, I fucking got the smallest hands in the world. That's it." Next guy runs up with the feet. He goes up in there. He's in there like 20, 30 minutes. Comes back out with the certificate. He's all fucking stoked. Third dude with the dick, he's like, "This is it, man. You guys got certificates. I bet I have the smallest dick." He runs up the fucking stairs. He's in there for like a fucking hour, dude. They're like, "What the fuck's taking so long?" He comes out, no paper, no certificate, fucking pissed. They're like, "What's wrong, dude? What happened?" He's like, "Who the fuck is Eric Austin?" Thank you for your patronage, Eric Austin.
That really hit Brad.
That was good.
That really got.
That was good. Brad that was just, better.
Yeah. Brad was just going.
I was,
with
well,
the
I was just waiting for the bad ending, yeah. And that was good. It was good. Well, yeah.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was good. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Tough act to follow on that one.
Well, not really. I was just trying to think of something real.
Oh, that was real. No, that happened.
Yeah,
all these are real.
Those midgets hanging out near Guinness.
Yeah. I jerked off with hot oatmeal. This shit's real, right? I mean, well,
I know it's there. You know,
yeah. So. All these are real. Yeah.
Some of them are, though. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. You don't know which ones are. Some right. of us always tell the truth. Some of us always lie. Some of us are lying about telling the truth always, and some mm-hmm. of us lying. So actually, we're all liars sometimes.
Okay. So I know some of you like this. This story is kind of told part of it, but I haven't told the whole thing. So
this is growing some on of me. It'll I keep be, seeing it's growing on me. I'm kind of okay with it.
You're asking.
Some of this is out, but the whole story isn't out, so I'll talk about it. So I was in high school too, I don't know, 14 15, whatever. I rode bikes, dirt jumped, all that good stuff. So I built a bike, and whenever you build a bike, you know, from all kinds of different parts, you put it together, and it's kind of sketchy at first. You're not really used to it and all that stuff. And so I built a bike. It didn't have any brakes because, you know, you need brakes for. So I went to a place by my parents' house. I didn't live with my parents, but I went to a place kind of by their house in a field, and I was going to do some jumping. There's some dirt jumps and stuff. And I jumped a jump, and I decided the moment that I left the lip of the jump, I didn't want to jump anymore. Like something was wrong, right? And so at that moment,
I have done that.
So at that moment, I seized up and I cased the other side, which is the front wheels land on the front of the jump on the landing, and the back wheel lands before you get to the landing. And it thrusts me into the gooseneck, the stem where the handlebars are, and I hit my balls. Like fucking hard though. Like this jump is not like the little kid jump. This is probably like a 6 foot tall dirt jump with a 12 foot gap.
Right.
So I had full speed pedal going on, you know, and I fucking case this jump and I slam my balls into the stem and I feel a pinch. Like, and my, like when you hit your balls, Kat, I imagine you're a woman. I don't know if you've ever been kicked in the vagina so hard you had to shit, but
when that's a quote of the fucking year. I don't know if you've ever been kicked in the vagina.
Oh, no. So, but this is the truth.
No matter how the rest of the story goes.
I'm glad only one person is listening to this secret.
So, because when you get hit in the balls so hard, you don't know if you got to shit. You don't know if you have to piss. Your stomach hurts. So I'm in the middle of the field.
Was there other kids?
No, I was by myself. Oh, wow. I was by myself, and I'm in the middle of this fucking field, and it's like acres, and there's houses on the side. There's literally houses around, though, like people's yards, like not with fences. They're like chain link fences. So if somebody's in the backyard, they could have seen me. I have my fucking pants pulled down, like sitting there, like trying to piss, trying to shit. Like I didn't know, like I was just fucked. Like I probably should have went to the hospital. Damn. And, there's wet down my leg and it's blood. Like I'm bleeding.
Ooh, fuck.
And my ball, my testicle.
Shut the fuck up.
Is out of my sack. I have my left testicle is out of my sack. It cut the sack open and my testicle is out. So being me, I stuff my testicle back into my sack and pinch it and pull my pants up. And keep my hand in my pants.
And then you had to pedal somewhere.
I rode home to my parents' house, probably a mile or so.
You mean 5,280 feet?
Yes.
That's a long way.
Yeah. And nobody's home. I go in and fucking get in the shower. Like, but by the time I got home, because I was pinching it so hard, I was scared. Like, I was fucking scared. Like,
I want to see the scar.
Shit was
man.
Fucking ridiculous.
I want to see the scar. Batwing right now.
By the time I got
Batwing,
you don't know what Batwing is.
No,
you know, flay it out. You know, like,
there's a bunch of things where you show your buddies your balls, and that's one of them. You can do the boat sail too. That's where you grab the head of your wiener, pull it out, then you reach down and grab the bottom of your sack and pinch it out to a triangle to the tip of your wiener and hold it together. So it's like a boat sail, like a triangle.
I'm very glad that I went this long never knowing that.
A lot of it's from the movie Waiting, and there's a whole bunch.
So by the time I get back to the house. It's sealed back up. Like it's actually like created. Yeah, it clotted it and it's sealed back up.
You put a little dirt up in there with your fingers.
I guess probably. And so I took a shower.
What color was your testicle itself?
It was just the pink, like white, like it was, I don't even know. Like it was the scariest shit I ever saw in my life. It looked like Freddy Krueger's face. So like, so so
you're definitely following the midget story.
So
and doing it well.
Strong.
No, and this is honestly God true too. So I fucking
so it was my midget story for the record.
So I've told people that my testicles came out before. Like I've told the story kind of, I hadn't told the whole story, but when I got to the bathroom, I didn't realize it, but when I came into the bathroom and I fucking wiped off the blood and everything on me. I got in the shower. I don't know why I wiped off the blood before I got in the shower, but I threw the towel down and it was a mess. Like, I don't know. I think I might've shit myself too. Like, I don't even know at this point. And
let's just say you did.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the story.
So yes, yeah, so I get in the shower, I take a shower, all that shit. Like I probably should have had stitches, you know, stitched up and whatnot. I ended up taking duct tape.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And I wrapped my ball. Like, no. Yes, I'm dead serious. Like I wrapped it to make sure that it wouldn't come back open.
At least it wasn't staples.
Yeah.
Your ball shaved? How old were you?
I was like 16. I'm not very hairy. You know, I'm not hairy. Like, yeah. I'm not very hairy. So I had a little hair. Like,
his ball.
Yeah, you know, I'm not very hairy. Yeah.
We do jiu-jitsu together.
I don't hardly have chest hair. You know? It took me like till I'm 30 years old to even start growing a beard.
When
like,
me and Brad roll, we roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I've seen his ball.
Anyway, when you look at another guy's balls to look for hair, they call it a Pandora's jungle.
Yes. That's a common term in jiu-jitsu, in the jiu-jitsu community.
That is, yeah. So, I mean, now the shit, now this is where the fucked up part is, because my parents got home and my dad immediately, like, I guess he went to the bathroom or something, and immediately fucking yells at me.
Whose bloody towel and shitty underwear?
Well, yeah, no. It was, who fucked up my hustler? And I had thrown the towel on his hustler.
That's why you didn't live at your parents' house.
Yeah, and I got beat up for it. So
with my
ball and duct tape.
You didn't know though.
No. So
and then it healed up. No doctor.
It healed up. I didn't go to the doctor.
How do you peel duct tape off your balls? That's shit. Is like
yeah.
That's when a boy becomes a man.
We have a friend.
And that's why he has three testicles.
We have a friend that had a vasectomy. I won't name names, but it messed up and then like the vas deferens like swelled up and shit inside his balls after surgery.
This is.
Yeah. And he didn't want to go back to the doctor. So he went like to his aunt who had like a diabetes, making me like lose my voice, had a diabetic needle and he fucking stuck a needle in his balls and drained his own balls instead
true
of going
story.
Back to the doctor.
True
like
story,
stuck
bro.
It in the tube in the vas deferens.
He's
like,
still alive.
Yeah.
Still alive. No kids.
He'd been
no
on the show and shit. He was still alive.
That's why he's
been
got,
on this show.
That's why he's got also. Four balls.
Yeah. It's just one more ball every time we tell a story.
So, yeah,
and that's how he has so five
Kat,
balls.
Yeah, so that's my story, Kat. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Right. And I hope you've never been kicked in the vagina so hard you had to shit.
I do,
it
too.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So,
I do, too.
That's just a t-shirt waiting to happen, man.
So is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you for steading in the tree of trust. And yep. We hope that you keep this private.
Yes.
And we thank you. So thank you, patrons. Don't be retarded.
Give God the first portion of your income. Say that with me. Give God the first portion of your income. Give it first. Not after the deducts. Not after the Social Security and the hospitalization and the malnutrition. Not after all these things on your check. You say, well, I'm going to give God a little what's left. You're doing that's what you're going to get from God.
Who am I? I'm not the devil. I can take you to my level. Above the rocks, above the earth. Jonathan, say hello to the lovely people. Jonathan has problems, twisted neck, tangled legs, crooked spine, but we can heal this boy. For just $6,000, we can heal this boy.
Called me and then stopped by, and he told me you're gonna die unless you buy my holy water, check, cash, or a money order. This is true, don't question me. I'll even send you shit for free. It's only $10 for the car, and I'll send prayer, don't charge it all. Put your lips up to the screen, close your eyelids and intervene. Your lips to mine, now send the cash, and while you're there, you can kiss my ass. Take your paycheck and send me half, and I'll send you God's autograph. I'll get you Allahs and Buddhas too, even Zeus, I don't give a fuck who. Just send me that money.
Would you like to be here, little Jonathan?
Yeah, Reverend.
You see, brothers and sisters, this excuse me. I told him never to page me on a sermon day. Yes? Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Addy. People, that was the Lord. Today only he will heal this boy for just $5,000.
Show me how you give.
Give me the healing power, I can feel it, Lord. Rumi, Lumi, Lama, Nama, Numi. This boy is healed. Now, to the naked eye, it would appear that this boy has not been healed. But I can assure you this boy's spirit has been healed. Inside this tangled, mangled frame, is it healed, little boy? His spirit is healed. Hallelujah.